As instructed, I reported to Fred Turco's office right at 9. I had worked for Fred in the CIA's counterterrorism center in the mid-1980s. Now he was in charge of some new office set up to tighten up security in the CIA. Why he'd summoned me, I had no idea. Fred took a good look at me standing in his door and didn't necessarily like what he saw. I'd gotten back from northern Iraq the night before and hadn't had time to get a haircut. Sunburned and wearing a sport coat that had been sitting in the bottom of a duffel bag for the past 3 months, I must have looked like I'd been in the field for years. "Sit down," Fred said, pointing at a chair pulled up in front of his desk. When he silently ran his fingers through his shock of prematurely gray hair, I knew it wasn't a morning for pleasantries. "There are two FBI agents upstairs in the general counsel's office waiting to interview you," he finally said. I didn't have to be told what that meant. The FBI doesn't interview CIA officers returning from an overseas assignment unless a criminal investigation is afoot. "Why the FBI, Fred?" Fred moved his inbox so he could see me better. As he shifted uneasily in his chair, I knew we hadn't hit bottom yet. He fixed me with a stare he was known for all over the CIA and let me have it. "Tony Lake ordered the FBI to investigate you for trying to assassinate Saddam Hussein." Assassination? I knew what had happened in Iraq was sure to rattle windows at the White House. I knew Lake, the president's national security advisor, was furious at the CIA, but this was insane. Turning the FBI loose on the CIA. Not to mention that the accusation wasn't true. X. "He can't be serious," I managed to get out. Fred shrugged. "You have no idea how this town works. Stay cool, and we'll get you through this." Rob Davis, a lawyer from the general counsel's office, had been sitting so quietly at the conference table in the back of the room that I'd forgotten about him. Now he joined the party. "Look, Bob, you've been overseas for almost 20 years. Washington really has changed a lot," Davis said. "These kinds of investigations go on all the time now. Fred's right, you'll get through it. And, by the way, it'll make you a better officer." He was right about Washington having changed, but the part about the investigation being good for my career was bullshit. I'd worked for the CIA long enough to know that it had long ago stopped backing up its officers in the field. An FBI investigation, no matter how baseless, meant my career was over. In the CIA, as elsewhere in the federal government, you're innocent until you're investigated. I ignored Davis and turned back to Fred, a former case officer who had survived his own run-in with Washington's new political correctness. Rumor had it that while he was working in counterterrorism, he had a close call with the Department of Justice. Fred was running a source, so the story went, a former terrorist who was helping track Carlos the Jackal. The source let us know when Carlos moved from Damascus to Amman and then to Khartoum, where the French, acting on our information, eventually arrested him. The problem was that the source, many years before, had been involved peripherally in an attack in which an American died. A couple of straight-legged Department of Justice attorneys heard about the source's past and tried to nail Fred's hide to the wall for putting a bad guy on the payroll. They didn't care that our bad guy had helped capture a far worse one, an internationally sought assassin. Fred had lasted, though. He knew how the game was played in Washington, and I was counting on him to give me a few quick lessons. "I'm going up first," Fred said as he stood to leave. "I'll sit through the interview, so will Davis. But don't forget, he'll be there to represent the CIA, not you. The FBI agents are going to tell you you're entitled to a lawyer. It's your call. But if you ask for one, frankly, it's not going to look good inside this building. See you in 5 minutes." Maybe I should have paid a little more attention to the irony of it all. I was the one being investigated, but it was the CIA who had a lawyer. The two FBI agents were sitting at the general counsel's oval conference table. They stood up, shook my hand, and showed me their credentials. I recognized one of them. Mike X and I had worked together in 1986 in Wiesbaden, Germany, debriefing Father Lawrence Jenko, a Catholic priest serving in Lebanon, a hostage who had just been released by Hezbollah. Although Mike had known me by a different name then, he remembered me now. The expression on his face seemed to say, "Yeah, I too recall better times when we were all on the same side and knew who the enemy was." But his words were all business. "Mr. Bear, we are conducting a criminal investigation," he said as soon as we sat down. "You have the right to an attorney. Do you wish to consult an attorney at this time?" I had decided to do without one. For a start, I didn't have a lawyer, and even if I did, there was no way I could afford a protracted investigation on my government salary. What was the alternative? Call up the ACLU and explain that I was an accused CIA assassin who needed pro bono counsel? Besides, I didn't need a lawyer to know that in an investigation like this, the one thing you never do is give up anything freely. I'd conducted enough of my own. Just answer the questions, yes or no.